It's Thursday, April 18th. I'm Priyanka Arabindi.
And I'm Juanita Tolliver, and this is What a Day, the pod where we have a new thing to worry about falling out of the sky. Space junk. NASA confirmed that the object that tore through a Naples, Florida man's home was debris from the space station.
It had been floating around up there for 3 years.
Absolutely, the federal government is remodeling my home if this happens to me.
Yeah, I'm getting a farmhouse sink out of it. I don't know about you. On today's show, Columbia University's president was on the Hill for a hearing related to anti-Semitism on the university's campus. Plus, Iran warns Israel of a massive response if it acts after last week's attack.
But first, the Senate moved quickly to dismiss two articles of impeachment against Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas on Wednesday. The whole trial, if you can call it that, lasted about 3 hours. Here's Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer speaking at a press conference after.
What we saw today was a microcosm of this impeachment since day one. Hallowed, frivolous, political. And we felt very strongly that we had to set a precedent that impeachment should never be used to settle policy disagreements.
It was an anticlimactic end to House Republicans' long-shot bid to oust Mayorkas. You'll remember they had to vote twice on his impeachment in February. The first one failed because too many Republicans defected. Now, it's all over, and Mayorkas keeps his job.
Yes, which, I mean, should have been the case from the beginning. We did not need to go down this whole sideshow.
Nope.
But here we are. I wish Chuck Schumer had added unserious to his remarks there. Just add it to the list, because that is what this was. But anyways, Juanita, can you explain how this all went down for us?
Well, on Tuesday, Johnson and other House Republicans officially walked over the two articles of impeachment against Mayorkas to the Senate. Congressional reporter Matt Laszlo was there. He's a contributor for Wired and has been reporting on the Hill for nearly two decades. He says despite the somber nature of the proceeding, everyone, even Republicans, knew that there was almost no chance that the democratically controlled Senate would allow the impeachment proceeding to continue.
This was nothing Republicans kept clinging to it as like, look, this is some action on the border. But even them, when you pressed a little harder, they knew this was nothing and going nowhere.
Laszlo says, if anything, the whole impeachment process was more about the 2024 election and scoring political points.
Absolutely, as has been very clear to many of us on this program for this whole time. But I'm curious about the reaction from the House Republicans. This would seem to be yet another embarrassing defeat for Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson, whose job looks to be increasingly on the rocks these days, thanks to the party's hard right. But what's the vibe over there?
Well, at least according to Laszlo, just the photo op of walking the articles of impeachment to the Senate was enough for some House Republicans. And he says that speaks to the ways impeachment has become increasingly obsolete.
These lawmakers, they don't really believe what they're doing. They're just looking to dunk on TV every chance they can get. And watching Fox News today, after the impeachment went down with Mayorkas, they're not really covering it. They will on some of the primetime shows or whatever, but Republicans didn't take this serious. They saw it as an in. They saw it as a way to take a chink off of Biden's armor. And that's where it's sad, because impeachment is supposed to be the tool of last resort.
Laszlo says the question these days is,
is Congress serious? Does Congress matter? And I think they keep proving to themselves and the rest of us that they themselves are becoming as obsolete as these tools that they keep using.
Yeah, thank you, Matt, for just underscoring this point. Tools that they keep using and abusing, quite honestly. And this is not the last that we are going to hear about impeachment from this Congress either. You know, they are not going to let this rest. House Republicans still seem pretty determined to find a way to impeach President Joe Biden before the election, even if they have zero reasons as of now to do it.
Zero reasons, zero evidence. That's exactly right. On Tuesday, the White House declined an invitation from the House Oversight Committee to testify in its impeachment inquiry hearing. In a letter obtained by CNN, the special counsel for the president wrote that Biden had, quote, done nothing wrong, and accused the committee's chair, James Comer of Kentucky, of spreading disinformation. And you'll remember, too, that the Republicans' star witness in their investigation into Biden and his family, an ex-FBI informant, has been arrested and charged for fabricating a bribery scheme involving the Bidens. But that's not stopping Republicans. Comer told Fox News on Wednesday that impeachment is still on the table and that criminal referrals could come, quote, within weeks. And that led to this testy exchange during Wednesday's oversight committee between Comer and the ranking Democrat, Maryland's Jamie Raskin.
You have not identified a single crime. Well, what is the crime that you want to impeach Joe Biden for and keep this nonsense going? Tell America right now.
You're about to find out.
Name it.
I hate that Congress sounds like an episode of The Real Housewives, but I also am like, Jamie Raskin made it plain. Just tell everybody what your evidence is. They don't have any.
They have none.
And according to Laszlo, Comer even told him he knows there's nothing there when it comes to Biden, that it's more about vengeance for the second impeachment of former President Donald Trump after the insurrection.
I pushed him, you know, way at the start of the impeachment of Biden, and I got him to admit that, yeah, because they went after Trump for that second impeachment, that's the reason we, as a Republican Party, have to carry through on our end.
Laszlo says he was at the Capitol that day on January 6th. He still says he can't understand how Republicans seem to have just moved past it. We'll keep following this story as Republicans continue their unfounded impeachment effort against President Biden, but that's the latest for now. We'll be back after some ads.
What a Day is brought to you by Fast Growing Trees. Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S., with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers. They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Plus, Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever.
We love Fast Growing Trees here. I keep telling you that the mini plants that I've gotten from these folks are yet hanging on. And that's not because I have a green thumb, okay? This spring, Fast Growing Trees, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code WAD at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code WAD at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code WAD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Therapy is great for, you know that thing that just is like sitting on your shoulder, you can't get over it, and you just sometimes need somebody to talk through it with? Therapy can be helpful for that, you all, okay?
You got to get it off your chest, you know? And you can do that with BetterHelp. So visit betterhelp.com/WAD today to get 10% off your first month. That's 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/WAD. What a Day is brought to you by Vuori. Vuori Performance Apparel makes the perfect Mother's or Father's Day gift. Everything is designed to work out in, but it doesn't look or feel like it. And they're incredibly comfortable and cute and just the perfect thing to wear when I'm working from home or out and about, mostly at home because I'm not out and about.
Yeah.
I will say I did not know clothes could be... I'm being dead honest. I did not know clothes could be as comfortable as they are before I had Vuori.
Yes.
Clothes can be so comfortable. Nobody told me.
Smooth like butter, soft.
They're so good.
On the skin. I just love living in Vuori. Vuori is offering What a Day listeners 20% off your first purchase when you go to Vuori.com/WAD. That's Vuori.com/WAD. And enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns.
Let's wrap up with some headlines.
Headlines.
Tensions appear to be growing in the Middle East amid fears of a regional war. Iranian President Ibrahim Raisi on Wednesday warned Israel that even the, quote, tiniest invasion on their part would provoke a, quote, massive response. This comes after Iran attacked Israel over the weekend, launching hundreds of missiles and drones on Tel Aviv. The attack was in retaliation for Israel's initial attack on an Iranian embassy in Syria earlier this month. Israel's military chief seemed unbothered by Raisi's remarks, saying that Israel will respond to the attack, but he stopped short of providing any details on how or when that would happen. Also on Wednesday, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu met with officials from Germany and Britain. They are two of several Israeli allies urging Netanyahu to de-escalate the situation. According to the Associated Press, Netanyahu told his cabinet, quote, "We will make our decisions ourselves. The state of Israel will do whatever is necessary to defend itself." Meanwhile, the suffering of hundreds of thousands of people in Gaza continues. The UN Children's Fund, or UNICEF, released a report this week saying that more than 13,000 children have been killed in Gaza since October 7th.
It's possible that Joe Biden will not appear on ballots this November in the crucial state of Ohio. At issue is a technicality in Ohio law that says a candidate has to be certified 90 days before the election. Doing the math, that's August 7th. But Biden won't be officially certified until August 19th during the Democratic National Convention. Last week, a Democratic elections attorney in Ohio proposed to officials that Biden be provisionally certified before the deadline. But on Monday, that idea was shot down by Ohio's Republican Attorney General in a letter to the Secretary of State. Democrats still have a few options to make sure President Biden is on the ballot in the state. One option, sue. The other, hope that the Republican-controlled legislature passes an exemption. They actually did in 2020 when both Democrats and Republicans had their conventions too late for the candidates to be officially certified in time. Meanwhile, the president faces the same issue in Washington state and Alabama. Washington's Secretary of State said last week that they'll accept a provisional certification, while Alabama lawmakers advanced a bill Wednesday to make sure Biden can be on their state's ballot.
Even Alabama is letting him
come on.
Stay. So this is pretty diabolical by Ohio. But at this point, we have to know we are dealing with the worst people. Like, we got to be ahead of this, everybody. We got to look at the books beforehand. We got to know the rules. Arizona Republicans defeated another effort to repeal the state's near-total abortion ban. The draconian 1864 law was revived last week after a ruling by the state Supreme Court. And on Wednesday, Democratic State Representative Stephanie Stahl Hamilton tried to fast-track her bill to repeal it. But Republican leaders in the state House shut down her motion. That led to a round of applause by anti-abortion activists who packed the audience, as posted on X by the DNC.
Talk about diabolical, though. Like, wow.
Just sick people. This was the second attempt by Arizona Dems to repeal the law, and it will not be the last. Democratic State Representative Lupe Contreras told the Arizona Republic newspaper, quote, "This is not going away. We'll bring it back to the floor again."
Columbia University's president Manoush Shafiq sat in front of a U.S. congressional committee on Wednesday and strongly condemned antisemitism. It's the latest round of antisemitism hearings where lawmakers question presidents of some of the country's most prestigious universities. House lawmakers accused Shafiq of failing to protect Jewish students since the October 7th attacks in Israel. Shafiq defended the university's efforts to protect its students and agreed that the school was facing a, quote, moral crisis.
Columbia strives to be a community free of discrimination and hate in all its forms, and we condemn the anti-Semitism that is so pervasive today.
Meanwhile, dozens of students staged an encampment on Columbia's campus to signal solidarity for Palestinians in Gaza. Take a listen to one of the students on campus who spoke with the news outlet Middle East Eye.
As the genocide only gets worse, so too is the erosion of democracy across the country and on college campuses. And this has a violent effect. In fact, we saw the arrest of students at Vanderbilt. We are probably going to be arrested shortly here today at Columbia University.
And on the other side of the country, students at the University of Southern California protested their university's decision this week to ban its 2024 valedictorian, Asna Tabassum, from speaking at this year's graduation ceremony. Tabassum is a first-generation South Asian Muslim student who minored in resistance to genocide. She told the LA Times, quote, "The university has betrayed me and caved in to a campaign of hatred."
And finally, for the first time in 70 years, the NBA announced Wednesday that it is banning a player for life. Jontay Porter, a power forward for the Toronto Raptors, illegally participated in gambling on his own games. A league investigation found that he bet on NBA games while playing in one of the minor leagues. Porter also shared confidential information with bettors and intentionally limited his participation in games. For example, he claimed to suffer from an illness during a game and only played for 3 minutes, which is so crazy.
Just wild.
It is just the latest in a string of controversy surrounding sports betting and its effect on professional leagues. As a reminder, NBA players are not allowed to make wagers on NBA games. It is like the oldest rule in the book for these sports leagues. Come on.
It feels like a pretty basic rule, but also I'm looking at Mr. Porter. Like, why would you like fake injuries 3 minutes into a game? Like, find a better bet if you're going to do this that actually is about increasing your stats. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's like the definition of not betting on yourself, which I don't think is what we should aspire to. And those are the headlines.
One more thing before we go. This week marks the national holiday 420, so we know you'll be looking for a good laugh. Tune in to Terminally Online to hear your dream blunt rotation of crooked hosts and staffers, including What a Day's Own, Travell Anderson, Jon Favreau, and producers Caroline Reston and Caroline Dunphy. This week, the roundtable is covering all things Beehive, JoJo Siwa, and the now TikTok famous guy who ghosted his own wife. To get access to this exclusive series and get unexpectedly sore abs, head to crooked.com/friends to sign up.
That is all for today. If you like the show, make sure you subscribe, leave a review, get a better party planner for the Democrats, and tell your friends to listen.
And if you're into reading and not just about Jontay Porter's stats like me, What a Day is also a nightly newsletter. Check it out and subscribe at crooked.com/subscribe. I'm Juanita Tolliver.
I'm Priyanka Arabindi.
And watch out for space junk. Oh my God.
Yeah. Cover those heads, everybody. You never know.
I'm a very jumpy girl anyway, but if some shit comes crashing through my upstairs into my I'm freaking out. I'm like losing my mind. So I don't know. How would you react?
If the fates have it out for you that bad, like what have you done? What kind of karma is coming to you? I just want to know what you did.
Okay, Final Destination.
What a Day is a production of Crooked Media. It's recorded and mixed by Bill Lance. Our associate producers are Raven Yamamoto and Natalie Bettendorf. We had production help today from Leo Duran, Greg Walters, and Julia Clare. Our showrunner is Erica Morrison, and our executive producer is Adrian Hill. Our theme music is by Colin Gilliard and Kashaka.
Escape to Ocean City, Maryland, and discover a place that just feels lighter, where every day feels like Saturday, and French fries are a food group, where flip-flops are always in fashion, and seafood is always in season, where the boardwalk is bustling, and the beach is right outside your door, where you can rise with the tide and feel like a kid again. Ocean City, Maryland, somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
With my busy life, I use Shipt same-day delivery to keep up. When I need a jar of extra creamy peanut butter delivered, I know my personal shopper Amber will come through. And if it's not on the shelf, she asks them to check the back. Shipt, delight in every delivery. Learn more at Shipt.com.